So much to me.
You are my everything.
Precious Jesus. I thank you for your blood. Precious
Jesus,
thank him for the blood.
I thank you for your blood.
Precious Jesus, yeah.
Precious Jesus,
for your body.
I thank you for your body.
Sacrifice, yeah,
your perfect sacrifice for victory.
Yeah.
I remember how you died for me.
Oh my God, I worship you, yeah.
I worship you today.
Sacrifice
of victory.
Seat, everybody. Oh, glory to God. All my bands sing, delivered, no more bands. Sins forgiven, right?
And forgiven.
I've got joy. I've got joy. What's next thing? Peace, are you?
Peace.
What?
Grace.
And favor.
And right now is the moment. Today is the day I've been changed. Me by.
go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed.
Woo, glory!
Me.
I won't go back, yeah.
I won't go back.
I can't go back to the way it used to be, yeah.
Before your presence came
Woo.
And changed.
Hallelujah! Glory to God. Say, I cannot go back to condemnation. Say, I can't go back. I can't go back. I can't go back. I am saved today. I am saved forever. I retain the consciousness of my salvation. No going back. Woo, glory to God. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. It's grace deliverance that the Lord did for us. Thank you for the majesty of people like Pastor Nainka, people like Pastor Seku, like Pastor Talks, like that brought this thing back to be again. Hallelujah. God bless them for us. Amen, amen. Praise God. See, it's just so cool. Just so cool. We have all pursued shadows. Pursued demons that don't exist. No, there are some demons that we have given them for that they don't exist. Think about that. We have created problems that are not there. And as long as the problem is in your mind, it will form a stronghold. But the doctrine of salvation is liberty, amen? It's liberty. See, that's why you cannot get any concept in the Bible correctly if you don't understand salvation. You will just miss it somewhere. No matter how honest you are trying to stay with the scripture that say, but people say, well, the way this Hebrew 6 looks like we can really go to hell. Until all those things are broken down, you cannot comprehend God. You still force the character of God at some point. So the doctrine of salvation is deliverance. It's deliverance in itself. It will make you complete. It will make you ready. It will make you fit for ministry. Hallelujah. Praise God. And let us do this quickly this evening. Amen. Oh, this is so nice. So, now, why are we... Don't mind me. Why are we holding so much programs? We are still there. We are here just last night for VG. We are here again this evening. Tomorrow you'll be there again. It's because I know something. It is only consistency that bears results. If we are doing this thing once in a week, there is some things that we see not see. It is that close marking. When you just stayed with the same thing, like the ripple effect, that is what produces results. Consistency. So I know that you need to rest, you need to take care of yourself, you need to do other things. But for you to see result in the doctrine, in this doctrine, of course, when I mean result, I mean to be grounded, to teach others, to be grounded in the miraculous, you must stay with it. You must just cage it. There must be close marking. Praise God. Close marking. So let me just first start with a question. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 17. First, do almost 30 minutes recap, then we do another 30 minutes study and I'll be done. 1 Corinthians 3:17. What do you want? Light. Thank you. Okay. Glory to God. Catch. 3:17. What's there? Come on, open. Okay, want to go? Yes. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Read again. If any man defy the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So with what you have learned in this place, how will God destroy that man? Yes, I start from rejoice. Were you here where we did it? You should be my most regular church attendant.
How will God? Don't look at me. It simply means read, quickly read that context again. Read from verse 10, read from verse 8, read down. Yes, wait, let's. It will lose its reward, good. It's what we burn. Gilead, can you see that from that chapter? So, to tell you that the same way, you know, during the vigil, we saw the word perish. We saw that even perished. You didn't get it. Okay. You didn't get it. Joshua, can you explain? Pick a microphone, send the microphone to him. Be fast, we are alive. Eh? How will God destroy him?
Okay, reading in context.
Yes.
We pick it from verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon. Now, following that same thought of line, we now get to 11. Say, for other foundation can no man lay, that is lay, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious, and so on, 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. 15 now, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So 16, I say, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defy the temple of God, which is the believer, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So to destroy in that place, we mean, if you read the context, he say, let every man now know how you lay upon the foundation that has been set. So to build wrongly on the foundation that has been set, and to teach the believer wrongly. So, if you teach the believer wrongly, in verse 13, your work will be tested. That's on the last day. Our work shall be tested by fire. So, if any man works gets burnt by what he builded upon, thereupon, that is the destruction in that place. That means any man that lay wrongly, if you teach the believer wrongly, your work shall be tested by fire. So, if your work got burnt, that is the destruction in that context.
Thank you. So, let me ask again. So, how can you defile the temple of God from that place? Another person? How can you defile the temple of God from that chapter? Hallelujah. So when you teach a saint wrongly, you are defiling the temple of God. Don't forget, God, man is what? Spirit, soul, and body, right? So when you are teaching a saint wrongly, which part of man are you trying to defile? Huh? Who said spirit? Spirit, let me see your hand. Spirit, let me see your hand. Fast. Spirit, oh. Ah. Hey, yo. So, to defy the temple of God, we mean you are defying his comprehension, his understanding. That is why you cannot just speak defile anywhere. And you say anywhere you see defile, it means somebody is she's talking about somebody that slept with a believer. No. Read in context. The people quoting Malachi for tithing, if only they will read everything in context, they will know that Prophet Malachi is in no way talking to Nigerians. You read in context. You pick it together. So when we said all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, now, you can as well put it down this way. God is responsible for that Bible in your hand. Why do I have a Bible today? God ensured everything that happened was written. God is responsible. God takes responsibility for the scriptures, for that Bible. But it does not imply that God is the one acting all the actions in the Bible. Not all the grammars inside are by the inspiration of God, but the graphe, the book, the material as a whole itself is by what? The inspiration of God. God told men, write these things down, compile them. Somebody will come someday and explain it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, hope you understood that. As I said, from part 6 to part this part 8, I've not uploaded everything, and living without fear that Sister Joy preached, I've not uploaded everything. But this next week, I will have time to do all of that. And if you are listening to us by live stream, help us to share with your friends, bring them to the table to let. Now, forgive our salvation, part what? Part 9. You are ready?
We're going to 50. Amen. Don't get scared. When we don't know what it's going on, now start talking about Habakkuk. Praise God. So, let me first do some recap. But, well, from the recap, you see several new things first, so ensure you are writing. So, when a man is praying that God deliver me from sin, God answer wrong prayer. God, Father, crucify my flesh. Wrong prayer. Sanctify me today. Wrong prayer. But when you choose to believe what has been done, my epic Isaiah 53 verse 1, what will happen? The power of God will be uncovered. Today, I will really talk a bit more on victory over sin. Although we are talking about salvation, but we should look at all the shades today. So, when you believe God's report, when you believe with your heart, you say with your mouth what he did for you on the cross, you believe, you confess your sanctification, you confess what he did for you, the power of God will be unveiled in your body for you to do what you think you could not do. Praise God. So, Christians, you are not born again to deal with sin. You are not called to deal with sin with any of your mortal strength, with any, whether mortal or spiritual or prayer point. No, it is not your duty. Your duty is to say yes to what has been done for you. There is a man that came himself to deal with sin. He is a sin dealer himself. He knows how to perfectly deal with all whatsoever type of sinful addiction. He knew how to handle it. He's a specialist. He's a specialist not only in isolating man from the consequence of sin. He's also a specialist in giving man a new life. A fresh start. Fresh start. So, no, there's also another school of thought that, you only need to manage your addictions, just manage your attitude, manage your bad stuff, just manage it, don't pamper it. Don't worry, maybe at times you will grow beyond it. At times you tell some people that, you are pushing ladies up and down, don't worry, maybe when you get married, you will grow beyond it. No, that is not Bible. Praise God. So, whatsoever he does, stand the test of time. He does it well, child. When he does something for you, you can go to rest. When Jesus said, I have paid for your sin, you can go to rest. When he said, I have delivered you from this addiction, you can go to rest. You can say, yes, he has done it. Because he does it well. Praise God. Say, he does it well. 1 Corinthians 15. 55. He practically and totally disarmed, destroyed, and annihilated the power of sin by his death, burial, and resurrection. That power of sin is not what we gather in church to break. The power of sin has been broken. Glory. 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is the victory? Open check. Where is it? Bring it out. Is boasting based on what he has done. See 56, the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Say, I have the victory. Say, I've got the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. So, you have the victory now without fight, without prayer point, without any, you have the victory now. You have it. You have it. You have it. When you are confessing the word, you are not confessing to have the victory. You are confessing because you know you have. See, I know I have. See, I know I have. Matthew 1:21 said, he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save. He shall save his people from their sins. He shall save. If he cannot save from sin, then he does not merit the name Jesus. We call him Jesus because he is of end. He is powerful enough to save. He is able. Ooh, glory. Say he's able. That's why we like to sing our own song like, God in Christ has done just what he said he will do. He has fulfilled every promise to me. You are not waiting. You are not of those who are in Hebrews 11 who are waiting for the day they will be made perfect. No. For you, he has perfected. Them, they will be perfected. In Hebrews 11, they are waiting for their perfection. But you have been perfected. You are complete. You are complete. Say, I'm complete. Say, I am in God's destination. Hallelujah. So, sin is not your problem to deal with because, number one, you can't. The more you try to deal with sin, the more sin will deal with you. All you need to do to sin is to try to deal with it. It will deal with you. So the tax of sin is bigger than man. Go back to that, our Hebrews 10, verse 1. When I'm done with you in this church, you'll be able to quote almost everything in Hebrews. We'll be going somewhere to trash out Hebrews chapter 1 next week. I think we have done it before, Pastor Ezekiel. Just you have used it to shop Chinkafa. Hebrews 10, verse 1. And then we didn't also record this then. It was just informal meeting. All right, come back to it again. Hebrews 10, verse 1. Are you there? Okay, for the law, look at the Bible, don't say I know it, read it again. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually, make the commerce thereunto perfect. It cannot, can never. So everything done in the Old Testament solved nothing. Everything they did about their sins solved nothing. See verse 4. Verse 4, everybody wants to go. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. It's not possible. God wasn't pleased with all their practices. Go to verse 6. In burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Verse 8. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Whatsoever you are quoting out of the law of Moses for sins to be justified, God is saying, I don't have pleasure in it. You run to Abraham's starting, you run to Melchizedek, you run to Malachi's starting, God, and you are using that as a criteria to condemn. God said, I didn't send you. You are serving yourself. Praise God. See verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do your will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God himself deleted those practices of the law, including your daily and your yearly confession of sin. I'm not against New Year resolution, but it must not be an action of confession. It must be an action of decision. Praise God. If you like, be making new week, new month, new birthday resolution. It's good. Verse 10. By the which will we are what? Sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus. How long? Once for all. He said once for everybody forever. Meaning your sanctification will never be done again. I can't even tell you some things. When I start getting serious with Christianity years ago, they said, now, brother, you, I know you are born again, I know you are zealous, but you need to be sanctified. And when if you see one of the things, like to them, sanctification means you must not have emotion. Like, If you see a lady and anything chews you, and your body just say, brother, you are not sanctified. Let's read the rest. We pray though. You stop. Yes, they say, why must you get sanctification before the Holy Ghost? No, that Holy Ghost is fake. So let's go back to the basis. Salvation, sanctification. And that sanctification can take 3 years. You'll be lucky. Because we disrespect the Bible. It's disrespect. Could they die? When you disrespect the Bible, you will be disrespected. See, we disrespect you. Praise God. So see, by our verse 11, Jerry, don't mind them. And every priest started daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. Never take away sin. See verse 12. But this man, after he has offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Praise God. Say he's seated. Read verse 14. Want to go? For by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See the message version of that place. I love the way the message preaches. Although we don't always believe message, but it tried there. He said it was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some very imperfect people. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's checkmate. It was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some very imperfect people. Oh, glory to God. I love one song that we just sing years ago, more than 20 years. Say, I came not for the righteous, I came not for the Pharisees, but I came to set the sinners free and to bring the sinners home. So that's when we sing, oh, Zacchaeus, come down from the sycamore tree, come down from the sycamore tree, come down from the sycamore tree, for the salvation is come unto you. Who knew that song? Nobody. Jesus. Oh, glory. Didn't you watch all those then? Praise God. To perfect some very imperfect people. So when you see in Matthew 5:48, that be you perfect. Let's see it quickly. Open. Fast. Context is the king in Bible interpretation. Matthew 5:48, be ye perfect even as your father. No, he has said he has perfected you forever now. Now he's now saying in Matthew 5:48, be ye perfect even as your father in heaven is perfect. What is he saying? Is it because Jesus has not died, or what is he saying? Fast. What's that? Okay. Matthew 5:48, yes. Oh, glory to God. Yes, are you ready? Who's there? Who wants to answer? Okay, Brother Joshua, hold on. You're my emoji. Good, who wants to check? How be ye perfect even as your father in heaven is perfect? What is he saying? Brother Joshua, help us. Take the mic, help us, be fast.
Verse 38, Jesus yes. was speaking about walking in love.
Yes.
And 44, he said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. That's the summary of all he has been saying from 38. And pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you. 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and unjust. So 48, he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So our perfection is in the like manner in which the Father love even those. He said, he maketh his rain to fall both on the just and unjust. So when we love our enemies, when we pray for them that despite we are perfect, because that is what Jesus will do in that situation.
Simple. Thank you, sir. Be perfect is not saying be sinless. I told you when we are discussing 1 John 3:9, that when he says, whosoever is born of God does not sin, cannot sin. I said, if a believer cannot sin, so why is Jesus interceding? Praise God. So the passage is not saying be sinless. It's simply saying love your enemy. Simple. Context. Context. Why we have forgiveness of sins is that there is still possibilities, probably possibilities of several imperfections. So when you are pick, don't never pick a scripture outside the cocoon where it is used. Amen. Praise God. Good. Go to Hebrews 9. Say, I have been perfected. Say, I have been perfected. Say, I have been perfected. Once and forever. Can I up that fan? Abi? Rashim is up that fan. This is blowing your head. Up that fan. Allergy. Hebrews 9:15. Rejoice, I'm waiting for you. Glory, 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 glory. So, Hebrews 9:15, what was there? And for this cause is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. See verse 16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. 17. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Amen. Praise God. See, I'm under a new testament. A new testament is not talking about Bible. What we saw in the epistle are simply the explanation of the new creation, explanation of the new testament. The New Testament is about you. It's you. It's you. You are the one that is new. Praise God. Say, I'm new. Hallelujah. So what happens is, God comes to a man and tells him, like, don't forget, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So when we say in John chapter 16 that, Sabuki, are you with me? Good. So when he says in John chapter 16, that when his preacher come, he shall convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. So what will the Holy Ghost say? The Holy Ghost will tell the sinner that your sin has been laid on Jesus. So the Holy Ghost comes to a man and says, well, I have made you holy, I have made you righteous, I have healed you, I have perfected you forever, I have empowered you, I have paid for all your sins. But will you believe my report? It has been done for you. But will you believe my report? Because when you believe the report, power will be unveiled. The New Testament is a done deal. Glory. Say, I believe God's report. Say, I believe God's report. The same thing that happened. Everybody saw the same thing. Joshua and Caleb said, no, we believe God's report. He said he has done it for us. That will mean, okay, I wanted to say this, maybe it's on Sunday, in continuation of what my stagiaire said last Sunday, or two Sundays. No, it's last Sunday. I just kept. Good. So, what we call the accusations of the devil, they are not like false evidence. It's not that the devil is lying. It's not the devil will come and tell you that rejoice, you are doing Bob Marley. No. The devil will tell you what is true. But against what God has said about you. When we say the devil is accusing you, it's not that he will not accuse you with false witness. He will accuse you with facts, stuff that you are truly guilty of. Amen? But it's now on you to say yes, although this is fact in the physical, but my reality is the word of God. Say, my reality is the word of God. So a Christian that keeps declaring, confessing, affirming his sin, you will never be free. I've told you. You will just not be free. See, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So somebody asked me, so when somebody sin, what should I say? Of course, you say, Father, thank you because my sins are forgiven. Thank you because sin has no more dominion over me. Thank you because I have been crucified with Christ. Thank you for what you have done for me. Thank you because I live my life to please myself. You thank God for what he has done for you. I'm not saying, well, just become indifferent. Anything goes. Nothing that happened. You are saying it. No. But you affirm the positive report. What's the positive report? What God has said about you. We don't talk true. We talk the truth. You know it's different. We don't talk reality. We talk the reality. Hallelujah. We talk the new creation reality. Say, I live to please my Savior. Okay. To a bit of something not too new. Romans chapter 6 verse 1. When you talk like that, you will confuse the devil totally. Like you can see an evidence of sin, of unrighteousness staring at you in the face like this, but yet you are confessing strongly. You are strong on what Jesus did for you. You will confuse the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. Say you are a liar, you are a she. Say, yes, I know, but God loves me still. Glory. Romans 6 verse 1. Okay. Let's look at this verse. Today, so I'm done with my first 30 minutes. So I need your full attention. It will be a bit of a study. Are you ready? 6 verse 1. What's there? Want to go? Yes. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Okay, there have been several schools of thoughts in this on this verse. There has been a school of thought that is saying that shall we continue in our unbelief and yet we expect Jesus to save us? And that school of thought has said is talking about shall a Christian just, you know, it's just all manner. And different people have tried to give different explanation to this. Let us judge again from context. Are you ready? Praise God. Romans chapter 5. When they wrote these letters, it was not in chapters and verses. It was some intelligent folks years ago that now say, this Bible must not be like a storybook, like Shinua Achebe. Things fall apart. Lest you just pick the book of Isaiah, you will never know. You will not even finish it. You will not be encouraged to finish it. Except for people that like storybook like my wife. Imagine if that book of Psalm, if there's no chapter and verse. No comma. Kilo de. Just imagine. But no commas are not even in the original Greeks. Later again, they now have to intelligently put them where they ought to be. So now all these things I'm telling you, that means human being compiled the Bible. But by what? God inspired, they compiled. That would mean it will not be impossible to find imperfections in the text of the Bible, right? Because human being compiled them. But the thought pattern that the Bible is trying to communicate is still perfect. You will find it there. Hallelujah. Glory. So Romans 6 verse 1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Say, God forbid. Now, go back to Romans chapter 5 from verse 12. You just look at this. Straight away and we'll be done. Now, are you there? Let's go. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. That is Adam, right? And death by sin. So death passed upon all, for that all have sinned. Okay, verse 13. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that has not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead, but much more, that is if, the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. So far, you have been seeing a contrast between what? The sin of Adam and the sacrifice of Jesus. What Adam did to damn mankind and what Jesus did to save. That's been a contrast. Of course, I jumped some details of verse 12 and verse 13 that may look somehow, but that is not for this study. Now, verse 16. Are you there? Good. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of what? Many offenses unto justification. 17, once you go, everybody. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So it's still a contrast, Adam and Christ. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Oh. So, ever since, have we talked about conduct? No. The sin of Adam versus the sacrifice of Christ. Okay, 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made. Now, verse 20, slowly. Want to go? Yes. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more. Now, what is the question in chapter 6, verse 1? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? This verse 20 is saying what? The law entered that the offense might abound. We are going to do some cross multiplication very soon. Now, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, follow me. The word offense in this verse 20, write this down. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Now, the word offense is Greek word paraptoma, P-A-R-A-P-T-O-M-A, paraptoma. So, that the offense, it means the deviation, the falling aside, the slipping aside. So, that offense is the offense of who? Adam. Because that is the same offense was used in verse, is it verse 16? Check. Is it verse 16 or verse 15? Check. Is it 15 or 16? Where else did they use offense in that place? 15, right? And so, what does... read verse 15 again for me, sorry. Yes. Many be dead. So, offense in itself is not talking about conduct. Offense is talking about the deviation, the slipping aside from the will of God, the falling short of the glory of God, which is sin, sin of who? Adam. But he now used the word, the law entered that the offense might abound. So, please write this down. The law did not bring in the offense. The law didn't bring in the offense, but it amplified the effect of the offense. The law did not bring in the offense. Come on, Sapis, flow. Don't do like you're an outcast. You are here. Since you are here, just flow and format your head again. The law entered that the offense might abound. So, I said the law didn't bring in the offense, but it amplified the what? The effects of the offense. The law made the offense more obvious. Now, who can tell me if the law, if the offense will be amplified, what will be one of the byproducts? Or what will be the most obvious byproduct? The amplification of the offense. What will be the obvious byproduct? No. Since death is already in the world. Death is not in the world because of the law. Death is in the world because of sin. Condemnation, of course, will increase because now of sins. Sins, yes. Don't worry, I will explain this thoroughly for you. Check Romans chapter 4. Because once the law enters, people will be breaking the law. People will now be committing sins. So the law is the megaphone of the sin of Adam. Romans 4, verse 15. Are you ready? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Sada, de rosa, tatata. Oh, namu sa, mambo ba, ruminis. Romans 4, verse 15. Want to go? Yes. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Check Romans chapter 7, verse 13. Romans 7, verse 13. Want to go? Yes. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But seeing that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Wow. So what did the Lord do to sin? He made the sin sinful. Exceedingly sinful. When I said Jesus just have to take out the law. He took it out. Exceedingly sinful. He took it out. So now, the sin of Adam plus the law, that's an equation. Sin of Adam plus law equals more actions of sin. The sin of Adam plus the law will be equal to more actions of sin. So where sin abounded, we mean where people are committing sin. Please listen to me. When he now said in verse 20, right, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, the offense of sin is the offense of Adam. But once you use the word abound with it, for sin to abound, we mean that people are committing moral sins. Are you with me, brethren? I know you are smart. For the offense to abound, the sin of Adam, it does not increase, it does not reduce. It's just unbelief, it's just there. But for that thing, once you hear that the sin of Adam is increasing, is abounding somewhere, it means people are exhibiting more what? Moral failure, moral sins. So, when he's saying, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Please, that sin there cannot be sin of Adam. Let me put it this way. That sin there right now cannot be unbelief. Grace does not cover unbelief. Grace cannot cover unbelief. Grace cannot cover the sin of Adam, but grace can cover the actions of sin. What you do to the sin of Adam is to break out of it. So, any man that grace is abounding over, he has obviously broke out of what? The sin of Adam. But he has not broken out from the actions of sin. Are you with me? So, you cannot go say, well, there is that country, they didn't really believe the gospel, but grace is covering for them. Grace is abounding. No. See, the sin of Adam, for a man to remain today in the sin of Adam is his rejection of grace. So, grace cannot overrule unbelief. It cannot overrule the sin of Adam. In quotes. But grace covers moral sins. What do you do to the sin of Adam? Break out. How do you break out? You believe the gospel. So it's not because, you know what? That verse 20 is like continuous and say, we are sin abounded. Grace did what? Much more abound. Grace super abound. Are you with me? Now, see, don't worry, you get what I'm saying now. See verse 21. That says, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So that the same way that the sin of Adam resulted into death, the same way the grace of Jesus will result into life. So chapter 6, verse 1. Let's not read this again. We want to go. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What is he saying? Is it nature or action? Is it nature or action? Shall we continue in sin that grace should keep abounding? If grace, listen to me again, if grace ever abounded on you, it means you are no more in the sin of Adam. Hallelujah. If grace ever abounded, for grace to abound, listen again, grace does not abound over unbelief. Unbelief and grace, they are like this. They are opposites. Where you find unbelief, you won't find grace. Praise God. So now, don't worry, when we finish this chapter 6, you will get what I'm saying. Because actually, when I look at the construction, you know, it's just the way they put it. You know, you see that grace may abound. The may there is not there. The way it really ought to be is that, like, shall we continue in sin because grace is abounding? Shall we? Because when you now read the context of Romans 6, that is checkmate. Romans 6 was no longer talking about the offense of Adam. Hallelujah. It was talking about you. How you will yield your members. Let's see it. That's where I'm going. You read that. And so, this is how I put it here. To continue in sin will be to keep breaking the law that condemns sin. To continue in sin will mean to keep breaking the laws that condemn sin. To continue in the sin of Adam is to proceed in moral sins. To continue in the sin of Adam, once you use that word continue, to progress in the sin of Adam is to commit moral sins. Because that is the thing that grace abounds over. Grace abounds over actions. It superrides everything. But if grace is abounding over your actions, it means you are broke free. Sorry, broke free, break free. You are broken free from the sin of Adam. So see verse 2. So shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the answer? God forbid, right? Please, in the Greek, this God forbid, there is no God there. It's just like a swear word, like stuff like that. So I prefer that version that said, certainly not. God is not, he's not using God as the reason. I mean, here, he's not using it. In the Greek, it's not, there's no theos there at all. Just say, certainly not. Meaning, as a man that has believed in what Jesus has done, or whether in the past or future, as a man that has believed in what Jesus has done, should I continue in how I've been living before? Certainly not. Let's not see the explanation. That's what matters. What matter in this place is not that verse 1. You have to de-emphasize verse 1 and start your journey from verse 2. Because from verse 2 is the real deal. See what he's saying. Hold on. So can we accept? So let me ask you this question. So can we accept justification from sin yet continue in the action of sin? Is it possible? Can we accept the justification of Jesus, of the blood, yet continue in the action of sin? Is it possible? But should we? Certainly not. Now, but see, so the apostle now started explaining how God made us free from the actions of sin. See verse 3. Now, if he's talking about nation in verse 1, you will see it here. If it's conduct, you see it. Verse 3, want to go? Yes. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus, we were baptized into his death. Verse 4. Therefore, we are baptized with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we walk. We should walk. Say we should walk. Say we should walk. Say we should walk. Walking, is that nature of conduct? Nature of conduct? Conduct. So we should walk in what? The newness of life. Praise God. See verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Several things are in italics there. See verse 6. Knowing this. Now he's telling you the reason why you cannot continue in your old life. He's telling you the reason why you can't keep living like that before. He now reminded them of what has happened. This is what has happened to you. This is your new nature right now. This is your new reality. You have everything you need to walk in the newness of life. Are you with me, brethren? Good. So, see verse 6, right? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Read the latter part together. I want to go. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Nature of conduct. Conduct. We should not serve sin. Okay, thank you. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. That is what? That is your reality. What has been done? You have been dead with Christ. You are freed from sin. So don't walk in the conduct, in the actions. See the next verse, verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Are you with me, brethren? Come on, are you with me? Verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died to sin, unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Everybody, verse 11, wants to go. Likewise, reckon ye yourself. Read it again. Likewise, reckon ye yourself. Again, likewise, reckon ye yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The reckoning there hasn't been done by Christ for us, or we are to do it. We are to do it. So, this is not done by just believing but by confessing the in Christ reality. So this is beyond salvation, in quotes. Sorry, it's not beyond, but this is beyond I'm saved. This is when you now put the details, the truth of your salvation in your mouth. When you put that truth of your nation in your mouth, your conduct will be better. Are you with me, brethren? Say, I'm righteous. Say, I am holy. Say, I've been perfected in Christ. You must keep saying the right words about yourself. Verse 12. So it's not, so it's about action. You use the authenticity, the truth of your nation to combat the action. Is that clear? You use the reality, the authenticity of your nation to what? Combat the actions. You tell your actions, this is my nation. I am dead to sin. I am alive unto God. Amen. See how we use the truth of our nation to combat every action. So, see verse 12. Let not, can you see? Let not, I mean, don't allow, right? Your responsibility. Don't allow sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin. Can you see that? Don't yield your members as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. Praise God. Well, you know, I wrote something funny in my notes, but I think, but it's true. I wrote it down here. I said, like for guys now. No, he said, don't yield your members as what? Instrument of unrighteousness to sin. For guys now, it's not really necessary for you to just keep staring at ladies. Every lady that is passing. You look at some guys, if a girl is passing, they will look. You are yielding your eyes as instrument. It is not, don't say I'm an old creation or I'm a cake. You don't have to stare at everybody. Oh, Bishop, sorry, Pastor. Look here. MFM, he said something. He said some people have an X-ray spirit. You know your X-ray spirit? You look at somebody from outside, you can scan. You see this? Jute. Did I say that word? Why? So it's not really out of place to say, don't yield your members. No, and you know how sin starts. You know the journey of sin. That is James chapter 1, right? Verse. Let no man say, when I'm tempted of God. For God, I'm tempted of even not tempted any man. Say, but every man is tempted when drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust, has conceived, right? He bringeth forth sin. That would mean something came before lust. Information came to you. You fix your eyes on some informations. Till now, if I'm watching some movies, when I see some scenes, I take my eyes. No, it's not, there is no, I am the man of God. There's no, I'm the rabbi. Sin is dead, man. am I saying you can totally, of course, you know, the thing almost plagued me too. You know, there is a negative part of this thing. The thing almost plagued me when I was in Parapoli years ago, and they told me, now you are born again. Now, yes, let me tell you the story. There was not a time I thought I got the sanctification. Because I prayed, I'm so like, then I was just no emotion, no shaking again. So I thought I got the sanctification. So they now told me, I said, well, now to retain the sanctification, you must not look at the lady twice. And luckily for me, I was in school of engineering. And in school of engineering, they are only maybe three ladies in a class of 100 guys. Electrical, mechanical, and all those stuff. So, a school of engineering. But anytime I make mistake, and maybe I'm going to fellowship, or I just walk through school of business or school of technology. No, they said it was don't look twice. So, as I'm going, I just want to just bang, take my eyes. I don't know. Take my eyes. I don't walk like this. I'm not joking. I think, so If I'm going to this place, because to get from here to this place, I have to pass through all those school of business. I'll now go and take the main road. Go like this. So that at least my sanctification can be what? Can be intact. Amen. Praise God. Touch not, taste not. See not. Praise God. But don't see me as contrasting what I just said right now. What I'm saying is, you are not under any yoke, but still, censor some things. You can censor some things. See, let me tell you this. Do you remember what did we just study? That's Romans chapter 14, question 3 in the VG. What's that question 3 again? Perish, that the weak brother, through your knowledge shall the weak brother perish. See, if you watch Spartacus, you watch Spartacus, and you now saw people saying that, this movie is immoral, this movie is this. Of course, you watched it too. But don't join them to say, I watched it too. Just keep quiet. I'm not joking. Just keep quiet. They say Game of Thrones is this. You have watched it. Nothing happened to you. So just keep quiet. Don't say, Odeshi now. So, because you are not helping somebody. Praise God. That's just the point. Now, am I saying go and be watching, saying secretly and be no? Try and get me right, too. I am saying, in case you did, because don't forget we are in the world. Some people, will you tell people who are working in the hotel to quit working there? Well, if it's me, if it's my work, I'll tell him to quit anyway. Praise God. But we are sent to all men. Amen? So somebody must still work in the hotel. Say that. Or else when the man of God travels to where to preach, to minister, you will have no place to stay. Amen. but you also know that it's not every job that is for Christians. When you ask, can a Christian work in a beer company? Which one is beer company? Which one is my own? Which one is it? No, it's okay. Now. Say, which department are you? I ask, okay, if you are doing a taxi driver and a smoker wants to enter your car, you won't allow him to enter. Say no, you're not born again. Stay out. Praise God. And a woman that is wearing hijab that is clean, she's old. Say, you can enter. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So now it's a very, as I'm saying, it's a region where there is no rule. Where there is no clear rule like this. Don't. Once we put that rule, it will be under bondage. But yet, you can just avoid some information. Exactly. You can just avoid seeing some stuffs. To be candid, personally, I don't know the meaning of gay. Since maybe 4 years ago. Ask my wife, if you know how I censor things, those I have never won radio before. Radio. Most of people once maybe by Georgia, once you just enter, news, jams, this. You will never see me put on radio. But you think that car does not have radio. I'm just careful. I'm not saying I'm that strong too. So I'm just careful. I don't allow things. When I became serious with Christianity, I can say clearly from 2006 to 2010, I can say I didn't watch one movie. I'm not joking. The movie that now finally broke the age, this 24. That broke the J. No, it's not 24. Maybe it's Underworld or Legend of Sika. One of those. Prison Break. No, it's not Prison Break. Underworld. So, what am I saying? But during those times, I cut off everything that I might see properly. So that I can see my reality. So now, all of us, we don't have the same rule. There are Christians that ought to stop going to guest hostel for now. Yeah. Don't say, no, we're in Christ. Christ is in us. Don't say that. Don't say, there are Christians that are supposed to sell their TV until they get their brain straight. When you come to our house and you see that we don't watch African Magic or something, it's not that when we watch it, as you're just watching it, something just happened. Bang, bang. I'm waiting. No. But we just know that there is just enough distractions already. Okay, can we just cut this one? Like, it will do nothing. But you must be conscious that you have a mission. You must be conscious that you have an assignment to maintain your spiritual sanity. Praise God. People that will say, I call those things that they have been watching some movies. They have been seeing some things. We are believers too now. Watch the American Gospel. So, there are really no rules, but still, yes, Bible is saying, don't yield your... That means you can do it. That means you can. A lot of them, I want to just see you on Facebook, a lot of people that cancel that I don't know. I don't know. I say, oh, what are you looking... You are the problem of men. You went to greet a man by 9:30 in the night. He is not a believer. You are a minister. And you are saying you don't know. What are you? Do you carry Bible? No. What are you going to do? Why are you surprised? I don't know. We are just friends. What is the difference between mouse and what is the other? You don't know. Like when you are seeing captain, he says he's playing with a mouse. You want to chop it in now. Some ladies are just they're just funny. A guy calls you every day, carries you to Chicken Republic every day. He doesn't miss it. You are eating. And the day he didn't call, you say, sorry, I didn't see your missed call. Is everything okay? The day the man now manifests, you know, you say, I don't know. I know that's what happened in those UK, that they will not be carrying the men to court. They have been shopping the money of the guy. Shopping. What do you think he's after before? Your edification? You're scaring. You're just scaring. I just like him. He's in the friend zone. To get the guy, you just break out like a tiger. Boom. You can just cut off something. Simple. It's just so clear. Don't put yourself at the edge of temptation. It's in the perimeter of man. I've seen that it all starts with a thought. You allow the thought to you processed it. The thing come, you didn't rebook it. You left it there. So you are eating shawarma every day. And the guy who now wants to eat his own shawarma, you can start complaining. Romans, Jerry. Is it just give shawarma to somebody? Praise God. So Romans chapter 6 verse 14. Just care. A guy loves your post every day. Anyway. Every day. You wrote a nonsense comment. The guy will love it. Sorry, that is not really. That may not really apply. Praise God. But when you see your sickness ahead of time, just do something. Don't wait for the spirit. Don't wait for, let me see where he's going. You see where he's going? Cut off things early. And that's why that is one of the good things that can happen from those feminism movements. For women too, you must stop looking at yourself like a, like a. You know, there's a song when somebody, when a lady finally marries, say, ah, Emilani tie it, you know. I was going to talk about it. Lay down, courage. It means somebody is saying, I am the one that the world has thought that I will not be able to do so, anything in my life. But now, I have done something. I have married. That song. It's a marriage song. The girl will not be singing, ah, wow. Finally, I captured somebody. I'm fulfilled. No, there's that partly servitude mindset some ladies that don't worry, because you just wrote two applications, you didn't see it. I'm married now. I'm married, I'll get pregnant, you'll be bringing money home. Abba. I already booked that for everybody else, in Jesus' name. Praise God. I have. And then my husband work elsewhere. They are doing fine. Praise God. It's not a man's calling. This the word right now is the word. If you have it to offer, the word will buy you. People are even looking at it. It's just local champion. They're not looking at it. It's a man. There's not even real money there. The place there is real money. Women can enter. Praise God. Yeah. So get it right. So Romans 6:14. So unfortunately, all I wrote in this place, I said it is not out of place to refuse to stare at the opposite sex too much. Just refuse to stare. Go analyze. Mm-mm. See the skies. You're not trying to compensate yourself that is it getting in Christ? You are the one that is going out of Christ. Romans 6:14. Want to go? Yes, as long as you can. Want to go? Yes. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now see the next analogy. 15. What then? Shall we what? Sin because we are not under the law, but under grace. Once again, certainly not. Hallelujah. God forbid, certainly not. Why? Verse 16. Don't you know that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, is servants you are, you know, we have studied this in this church, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, don't get carried away with verse 16. It's not saying that if you obey sin right now, you will die. No. See verse 17. But God be thanked that you were, past tense, right? The servant of sin, but you have, oh glory, obeyed from the ass that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. So, verse 16 and 17, what is he talking about? Salvation. Hallelujah. So, you have obeyed. He's not saying this salvation you obeyed, you have yoked yourself under a lifestyle of righteousness. See verse 18 now. Being then made free. Ooh, this verse 18 is somewhere you all need to read very well. Come on, people, enter. Don't distract this book. 18. Being then made free from sin, you become. Ooh. Say, I have been made free from sin. Say, I have become servants of righteousness. Say, I've been made free. I am free. Say, you have become status. I have become. So now, see verse 19. I speak after the manner of what? Men. Because of the infirmity of your flesh, right? Remember, have we studied this before? Remember? As you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. That would mean when you are in the word, or how do I put it, when you are yet to believe. Even so now, what you do? Yield your members servants to righteousness and unto holiness. So he's saying, yield yourself servant to righteousness and unto holiness. But that is speaking after the manner of men. But if you now speak to him as a new creation that he is, see the next verse, what is he saying? Okay, say, for when you are servants of sin, you are free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those sins whereof you are now ashamed of? For the end of those sins is death. Now see the new creation communication pattern. 22, one to go. But now, being made free from sin, you have become servant to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Woo! So, verse 22 is the perfect communication. Verse 19 is the speaking after the manner of men. So, when we see a Christian that is not too okay in conduct, you can tell him, hey, guy, yield yourself. Stop doing this. Like when I'm telling you that you close your eyes to somebody, speaking after the manner of men. But 22, what's your reality? You have been made free from sin. You have become a servant unto God. You have your fruit unto holiness and your end everlasting life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, for the wages of sin is death. Say, but the words, the gift of God. The gift of God. The gift of God. The gift of God. Gifts. Gifts of God. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Say eternal life makes me better in my conduct. Say eternal life makes me better. So we must all be strong in this. We must all be strong about speaking this reality. At times, it's not only for prevention, also for correction. When you find yourself in what is not okay, what do? You pick these realities, you put them in your mouth again. And even when you know that you are not doing anything, there's also prevention. How do you prevent? Put the same realities in your mouth. The same drug works for both what? Prevention and what? And cure. Hallelujah. You put your reality, acknowledging every good thing that is in you, in Christ. So you speak your victory over sin, okay? No other chapter of the Bible was explicit about the believer's victory over the action of sins like this. So a lot of people come to me and say, masturbation and all those type of things. Sorry, I didn't like mentioning them at all. It's not necessary mentioning the other names. It's not necessary doing a confession on them. It's not necessary. Just preach the Bible and leave the rest. The word works. Say the word works. Say the word works. When the word eats you, it's beautiful for what? Every situation. Ooh. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. What is it? Beautiful for situations. The joy of the whole world is Mount Zion, not side of the northern city of the great king. Hallelujah. So he's saying it's beautiful. When you put out the word is beautiful for how many situations? All situations. So I don't have to single out your own situation and form it and do a teaching conference on it. No. You receive the same word. It works in you. It works in you. Say the word works in me. Say the word works in me. Say the word works in me. Hallelujah. Start to loo. Hallelujah. So please write this down. Please, everybody write this down. Show you write this down. So salvation is both deliverance from the penalty of sins and from the appetite of sins. Salvation is deliverance from both the consequences, the penalty of sins, and also the what? The appetites of sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So you must sing. Where is our choir leader? It's not here. You must sing about this in Christ realities. You must sing about how he delivered us. Hallelujah. Please give her the microphone. You must sing about them. You must sing about how he made you free. You must, like, songs is a good way of retaining your confession. That's why in this church I pray, I'm just believing God so much, we're just going to have so much song. Very soon, maybe we have a screen here so that when we are singing, we'll be seeing everything on the projector for those who are not here, maybe when we got them. So, songs is something you can just be singing all day, but as long as you mean what you are saying, you are confessing the word. You put it in your songs. Victory over sin, you put it in your songs. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You put it in your, you sing about it. There's one song, I can't forget, there was a day, I think I was in our big camp, And he just finished singing maybe a song that looks like, I am who God says I am, what he says I am. And in that, and the last song before the big man of God comes up to minister, our sister, his own sister, Bukola, that sang. And she now came, I am tired of the valley. Just be like this, my God. And of course, most of you, they will not know the difference. I am tired of the valley, take me from the man. You are singing about every bad thing, every horrible thing that is not in you in Christ. And the worst one is, that is, I think that's one of the last day, that's one of my last confession. I just heard, sorry, this one is Yoruba. Yomi loko iya ni ye. Baba yomi loko eru. You know the meaning? Please help me. I can't even say it. Remove me from the slavery oko iya. Slavery of suffering. Relieve me from, Jesus. No, Yoruba. Oko iya. In church! So what did Jesus do? And thank you, Lord Jesus. And I can't forget that day in church. And that's I said no. Did I not pray? I said no. This is where we sing it. Eti yomi loko ya. Eti yomi loko eru. Hallelujah. I said you have delivered me from the slavery of suffering. You have delivered me from the slavery of the devil. Say I've been delivered. You sing reality. Because why do we like hacking songs too much? Because you can just romance any rubbish song. It's because of nice instrumental. Just see nice instrumental. Just see, my God. Even if you know, just lay hands on some of you, they just fall down. Bam! You don't wake up. Why? Well, once you hear the voice. Thank God for how they finally corrected that song. That when he said, he lives in you, he lives in you. Pastor Nika said, what did he say again? He said, what is living in you? Can't you say it? Even a God can live. Pastor Nika, happy birthday, 11th of May. He said, even a God can live in you. Can't you say what is living in you? Some people at times, you know, when you take your song to a producer can now say, the producer can now say, well, if you put this one, you will not really attract so much crowd. Remove this girl, this Jesus is too much, just let's put one or two. Just put Mary instead and just put, you know, this Holy Ghost, just put Ghost. Remove the Holy. Now it's marketable. He lives in you. I don't know song Stormy Sober in church. Stormy, I can see the sunshine. Wow. The Potter's House. Have you? And there's no Jesus there. No blood. No even drop. No death. No barrier. Stormy. Which storm is over? You can get a new job and your storm will be over. Can marry a boo, a good, a handsome boo. A rich boo. Heavily loaded. Dangote's boo. That big gate will come for your wedding. And your storm will truly be over. And your storm, you will find the storm, you will see it. What is a better storm is over than that? That big gate came for your wedding. It's over. It's over. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But when you see a song as simple as "In Christ I'm free from the power of the law, in Christ I'm free, I'm sanctified, I'm justified." I am free. Yeah.
In Christ I'm free.
From the power of the law.
From the power of the law. In Christ I'm free. I'm sanctified. I'm justified.
I am free.
In Christ I'm free.
From the power of the law. In Christ I'm free.
Hold on. See, let me tell you this. Your body listens to you. When you talk to your body, you know, there has been this type of stuff in the body of Christ that say, oh, well, there are many men of God that they usually die of sickness, and they will be able to mean silence to others for themselves, that they will just, don't worry, it will not be said of you. That is why we are growing like this into reality. We just didn't want to stumble on some manifestation and no, you will grow into it. You will know how it works. I tell you, if your body needs to listen to anything, it needs to listen first to you. Yes, we are more bold when we minister to others, but your body should be the best receiver of your own anointing. Amen, amen. Say, I will bless myself in this life. Say, I will bless myself well. Say, I will bless my finances well. I will bless my health well. I will bless my actions well.
I'm no longer slave to fear.
To sin, to fear.
I am a child of God.
Sing.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Yeah.
I am a child of God.
No longer slaves.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Oh.
I am a child of God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For my debt is paid, he is paid in full by the precious blood
that Jesus
gave. My Jesus gave.
Now the cost of sin,
and the cost of sin
has no dummy.
When
the sun sets free, yeah, it's free.
Oh, my God of Christ, my salvation.
For your blood was poured out.
Your love poured out over me.
My soul's cried out.
Oh, my soul cries out. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
My salvation,
yeah.
Where your love poured out
over me.
Now my soul cries out. Hallelujah. Praise and honor unto thee.
Singing tongue. Yala da 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 da.
Zito for a te da da da. Se poli rosate. Zatolebo zate. Je poli man la da da da. Raste kepile maste kepile mo zepi. La te kepile mo zapale roste kepida. La po zapoli rosa e dada. Shatale maste kepile mo ste gotele mo zotele mo zati. Rasta kata la bo zapale mo sopide kate te dada. La cotile, no leteta, shatilema, mali rosete. Our body listens to us. Our body listens to the words of healing. Our body listens to us. Our body listens, it listens, it listens. Our body listens to us. Woo! Se poli rote, zate tabo. Minte gepida cantile coraste. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You bring out songs. I love the way Sajo Ishai drill you to bring out songs. You bring out songs. You sing about your reality. You make it your confession all day. You talk about how he made you free from the law, how he made you from sin, how he made you free from death. You talk about how you not be slaves to the consequence of the fall of man. You talk about it. Hallelujah. And don't forget, your body listens to you. Your body listens to you. Your body listens to you. When you tell your body who he is, it will listen. Hallelujah. It listens to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One more time. For my death
he is paid. He is paid in full.
By the precious blood.
By the precious life. That my Jesus.
Now the cause of sin. Has no dominion.
Has no hold on.
On the sunset free.
The sunset free.
Yeah. Again. My death is paid.
Oh, my death
is paid in full.
By the precious blood.
That my Savior
pays.
Now the cause of sin has no hold. Whom the sun sets free. I'm free, dead. I'm free. The death
of
my salvation.
My salvation.
For your blood.
Poured out.
Poured out. Now my soul cries out. Cries out. Cries out. Cries out. Rise out.
Praise and honor
to thee. Thank you, Lord.
Praise and honor
unto thee. Praise and honor.
Praise and honor to thee. Praise and honor.
Don't stop. No guilt in life,
no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me.
From life first cry. To my final breath. Jesus commands.
Jesus commands my death in me.
No power there.
No power.
Yeah, cannot uphold me from his hands
till
he returns or calls me home.
I go.
In
the power of Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Till he returns. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. So sing about this, okay? You have your seat, everybody. Thank you. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. He set us free. We are free indeed. We are free indeed. We are free indeed. We are free indeed. We live our life to glorify God. We serve God in the gospel of his Son. Oh, glory to God. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, it's also to prove that He saved us well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He saved us well. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Okay, thanks for this evening. Thanks a lot. Oh, glory to God. Thank you so much. I see men here. Eh? We are building men here. Just tarry a bit longer. Tarry in this training, okay? Tarry in this training. You'll be better than this. You'll be better. Hallelujah. You will see all. You will do all that the Lord has said about you. You just tarry in this, okay? You remain here. You tarry in this. Allow this training to soak in. You'll be total. You'll be thorough. You'll be entire. The fasting, the prayers, the long studies, the assignments, very vital. I told you, each of our message, don't relax 10 times. Pick that headphone, charge it again, dust it 10 times, 10 times, 10 times, 10 times, each 10 times, 10 times. I'm not shy to tell you that I listen to Reality of Christianity minimum of 160 times. So Grace Salvation 2, minimum of 85 times. Over and over again. Not one series. Times 8 in a series. 9, 7. Everything. Over and over again. That's 12 and 13. Soak it in. Soak it in. That's my joy. That's my joy. I'm just happy seeing you grow like this. And don't forget, Vivava, express, see, don't worry. I won't say cause wala, but say stuffs. Post stuffs. One-on-one, challenge people's doctrine. On Facebook, say something. Don't be taciturn. In teaching, you will grow. Okay? In my church, it's sensible. I can moderate you. Maybe when it becomes too much, we will now be trying to be cautious. There's no caution for now. Just say something. Go and make sense. We don't wait till we finish one long. When do you want to stop growing? You mean I'm still growing? So don't say I'm not yet there. You are there. That's more three questions that I asked you yesterday. Just do this. Go and ask any of your friends. Just go and do it. They will just be suspended somewhere. Say, what's this? So you know stuff. Don't say because I'm the only one that is here, I'm not giving you an opportunity to talk. So I think I've not grown. No, you have grown. Your WhatsApp group, be diligent. I want to see you do stuff, okay? I want to see you on Facebook making sense. Making sense. You write stuff voluminous. You challenge, like you put it in paragraph, you space the line, you read table. Hallelujah. Amen. Thanks a lot. So, tomorrow, early in the morning, try and make us, people you have invited to church, make us again to them. Bring them. It's not a crime if you are more here. And when you see this live stream, try and help us to share with your friends. Just quick share. You see them, I'll share it in a different assembly. You see everywhere. Help us to share with your friends.